Hi everyone, my name is Beth. You can call me B. Welcome to Let's Be Real. Hello everyone, welcome back to the podcast. Welcome back to the pod. I don't know if you noticed, but I took a little break from the pod last week. There was no particular reason for it. I was just procrastinating like hardcore, and I didn't get around to writing an episode in time. So anyway, let's catch up. How was your week? Did you do anything exciting? Anything fun? I actually went to Pulau Satang last Sunday with a bunch of my cousins and their families, and it was, we had a really fun time, fun in the sun. We saw some Irrawaddy dolphins. It was pretty cool. They didn't do flips or anything like that, but we saw them like surface, come up for air for a few seconds. I even saw like a mommy dolphin with her tiny baby dolphin beside her, and it was very cute. We saw a bunch of proboscis monkeys, lots of birds, a single crocodile, just one chilling, like on the side of the swamp, you know, the paya bakau, whatever they call it. We went snorkeling for a bit. I might go back again another time because Pulau Satang has like a turtle hatchery, I think it's called. It's a nesting ground for green turtles and hawksbill turtles, I think. So once the mama turtles are finished laying their eggs, the eggs are taken and monitored until they're hatched, and then the tiny baby turtles are released into the ocean. I mean, it's not like they carry the turtles right to the water or anything. I think it's more like they let them loose on the beach and kind of just supervise their progress. I don't know if they allow, you know, civilians to be part of the release process, but that would be like really cool to witness. So besides learning a little bit about turtles, we also drank some beer and soju on the beach, and I got a magnificent, I mean like just beautiful sunburn. Speaking of which, my skin started peeling last night. Well, I'm recording this on Friday, so that would be Thursday night. And so I was just chilling in my room, watching people build Sims 4 houses on YouTube and, you know, casually peeling the skin off of my forehead, as one does. Anyway, speaking of honesty and vulnerability, today's topic is toxic positivity. I don't know if this will be a very cohesive episode. It's kind of rambly and disjointed because it's just like a compilation of my thoughts. Also, yes, I am aware that 31st August is right around the corner, and no, I will most likely not be doing a Merdeka-themed episode because, honestly, I've said everything I wanted to say about Merdeka, and frankly, I'm bored of it. I'm sick of it. I pretend I do not see it. So anyway, let's dive right in. What exactly is toxic positivity? Even if you're unfamiliar with the term, chances are you've come across it before. Toxic positivity can be defined as the excessive and ineffective overgeneralization of a happy, optimistic state across all situations. The process of toxic positivity results in the denial, minimization, and invalidation of the authentic human emotional experience. I think this is a fairly recent phenomenon, I mean, at least to my knowledge, and it makes sense because, you know, the rise of social media is probably one of, if not the biggest factors in how widespread it is today. I've mentioned this in previous episodes, but comparison is the thief of joy, and social media is so, so good at tempting you into these bad habits of comparing yourself to others. So, toxic positivity can manifest itself in a lot of ways. It can look like hiding or masking your true feelings, it can look like trying to, quote-unquote, just get on with it by repressing or dismissing a so-called negative emotion. It can look like feeling guilty for feeling what you feel, minimizing other people's experiences with feel-good quotes or statements. It can look like trying to give someone perspective, like saying, it could be worse, for example, instead of validating their emotional experience. It can look like shaming or chastising others for expressing frustration or anything other than positivity. And lastly, it can look like brushing off things that are bothering you with a, it is what it is. But basically, it's motivated and fueled by a feeling of shame or guilt. And you'll know when positivity becomes toxic, when you feel as if you are never allowed to be anything other than ecstatic and cheerful. And like I said before, I think this is mostly a recent phenomenon. I think modern humans seem to stop thinking of happiness as an achievement to work towards, as a goal or trophy for succeeding at life. You can't force happiness, no matter how accomplished or successful you are. And because we've put happiness and feeling good on such a high pedestal, we forget happiness can only exist in contrast to sadness. I think we've lost the ability to appreciate the melancholy aspects of the human experience. It's okay to be sad sometimes. In fact, it's healthy. Read some sad poetry, cry at a sad movie, you know? We need to get in touch with our sappy side. I think people in the past were definitely more pragmatic about like the full spectrum of emotions that comes with just being human, in comparison with modern humans, anyway. Take literature, for example. There's a whole genre of literature dedicated to feeling wretched and miserable and terrified called Gothic literature. One of the defining features of Gothic literature is actually emotional distress. Often, Gothic writers use melodrama or high emotion to convey a thought. This exaggerated, impassioned language helps convey the panic and terror inherent in many characters. Themes of madness and emotional distress were seen in many of the 20th century Gothic novels that depicted the condition of psychosis. For example, Charlotte Perkins Gilman's short story, The Yellow Wallpaper, is written from the perspective of a woman suffering from postpartum depression. Other notable works of Gothic literature include Wuthering Heights, the book by Emily Bronte, not the song by Kate Bush, but the song slaps too, like, go stream Wuthering Heights by Kate Bush. Anyway, the book is about a twisted and tragic love story that literally spans life and death. And then there's Jane Eyre by Charlotte Bronte, a story that involves child abuse, madness, arson, bigamy, and like a shit ton of yearning. Side note, the Bronte sisters have always like fascinated me because they write such scary shit. Like, Emily, Charlotte, everything okay at home? Like, you good? Anyway, another side note, I wonder if this is why horror or thriller movies are so popular. Maybe we like them because they're a safe outlet for all those, you know, messy negative emotions that you're not supposed to feel. We feel like we're allowed to be scared or sad or stressed because it's a movie, it's not real, and once the movie is over, the bad feelings will also be over. Unlike in real life, where bad feelings last much longer than you want them to. And then there's also classic Russian literature, most notably the literature produced in the 18th to 19th century, which generally was very dark and brooding. Their storylines were usually bleak or tragic, and their heroes were always conflicted, either morally or, you know, philosophically. Not many happy endings, unfortunately, but sometimes life isn't happy. And, I mean, considering the turbulent political climate in Russia at the time, it's hardly surprising Russian authors wrote equally turbulent prose. One example of this is Crime and Punishment by Fyodor Dostoevsky. It focuses on the mental anguish and moral dilemmas of an impoverished ex-student when he formulates a plan to kill a pawnbroker for her money. So, you know, just some light reading, just a casual bedtime story. But getting back to the topic, this fairly recent obsession with happiness is honestly bizarre if you really think about it. Why praise happiness to such a high degree and condemn all other emotions? I mean, obviously joy feels good, but sadness is as natural as hunger. Anger is as natural as feeling tired. Would you hate yourself for getting tired? So why would you hate yourself for getting sad? The reason we feel shame for feeling emotions other than happiness is because we are so caught up in looking at them through this binary lens, good versus bad, positive versus negative. But we need to accept that so-called negative emotions, anger, fear, stress, sadness, these aren't inherently bad emotions, they're just emotions. They are all equally valid. And they all exist for a reason. Otherwise, why would you feel them? Emotions are how you process your experiences or your surroundings. If you're feeling unhappy or stressed or upset, it's either because of something from your past that you have to work through, or it's because of something in your environment that's setting off a red flag. Ignoring these emotions is so harmful to your health, both mental and physical. Denying yourself certain feelings means denying growth and healing and problem solving. Repressing emotions like grief or sadness or anger means you're stopping yourself from living authentically, from processing your own experience. So essentially, you are emotionally stunting yourself. When you suppress certain emotions, you are effectively cutting off certain parts of you. You're alienating yourself from yourself. How can you be truly, authentically you if you refuse to let yourself feel? Obviously, a lot of this work is internal, but we also need to destigmatize so-called negative feelings. I think talking openly about our feelings is so helpful to us and to the people around us. I mean, there is a reason therapy used to be called the talking cure. There's a reason why venting to a friend or a loved one feels so cathartic. It's because verbalizing your emotions can also help you move on from them. And when you're open about your emotions, you kind of cultivate this atmosphere of safety and vulnerability, and you encourage others to do the same. I mean, obviously, don't be an energy vampire. Don't be that annoying person who complains 24/7 to your friends, because that also is toxic and draining. I'm just saying, if a friend asks you, how are you doing? You know, just be honest. If you're feeling crappy, just say you're feeling crappy. Chances are they're feeling crappy too. But speaking of stigma, have you ever asked yourself why we're seeing this rise in toxic positivity? Why are we so enthusiastic in our pursuit of happiness, or at least the outward appearance of happiness? And why are we so quick to hide every other emotion that doesn't fit the script? Toxic positivity is not a coincidence. It didn't just appear out of thin air. It was designed, purposefully, as a way to protect the status quo. The reason that it's so pervasive is because it was manufactured to achieve a certain purpose, or purposes, rather. The way I see it, and this is just me speaking from personal observation, I did not study this topic. If anything, I'm just a student of the world. Toxic positivity achieves three things. It sedates the masses, it furthers capitalism, and it's a form of censorship. So the first purpose of toxic positivity that I can see is as a sedative. Not to be, you know, a kooky conspiracy theorist over here, but it's just another way to control the masses. There's something very Stepford Wives about the idea that you should be so outwardly happy and positive all the time. Something very Pleasantville about it, you know? Even if you are a naturally happy person, why must we be so aggressive about it? Why do we feel the need to constantly push the idea that happy is the only acceptable state of being? I mean, think about it. It's basically a performance, right? But who are you performing for? For yourself? For your friends and family? For your boss? For your social media followers? If you're so invested in outward appearances, on chasing that one thing that you think will make you happy, you're distracted from the actual thing that will bring you contentment, which is allowing yourself to feel all your emotions and work through them. So you're living your life like a hamster on a wheel, caught up in this cycle of, well, I have a job, I have an income, I have a roof over my head. Why am I not happy? Why do I feel unfulfilled? I'm an ingrate. I have so much to be grateful for. I should be happy. And then you feel guilty for not being happy, which makes you even unhappier, which makes you work harder at trying to be happy while hiding your unhappiness from the world, which makes you even more unhappy, and so on and so on. I have a theory that society in general, especially a capitalist society like ours, uses toxic positivity to shame you into perpetuating societal roles to the detriment of your personal contentment. If you're so focused on being the perfect wife or husband or child or employee, are you actually living life on your own terms? We're basically told by society, like, please don't bother us with your messy human emotions. You don't have time to feel sad. Just keep smiling and be a good cog in the capitalist machine. Which brings us to the second purpose of toxic positivity. It is the perfect capitalist strategy. So think about where you are in life right now. You're probably so busy just trying to pay the bills, maybe earning minimum wage, using your hard-earned money to consume content and buy products you don't actually need, but you think will make you happy, and making rich people even richer. So pair that preoccupied existence with the fact that we're so used to being bombarded with messages and directives from every angle. So when a seemingly positive message is being broadcasted to us, of course we'll internalize it because that's what we've been trained to do. But the fact remains that happy workers, or workers who are invested in pretending to be happy, are better for your boss's bottom line than workers who are going through emotional difficulties. And so they preach shallow positivity, encourage you to chase instant gratification, and sweep your mental health under the rug. Instead of rewarding vulnerability, we shame it, we stigmatize it, we punish people for being honest about their mental and emotional health. I mean, even content that's supposedly geared towards mental health and wellness is usually superficial and shallow because they don't actually care about your mental health. They just want to make more money. And that's also how social media is such a perfect tool for spreading toxic positivity. Brands can pretend to care about you to successfully convey this fake persona of friendliness and concern without actually having to help you or having to do any work. Take it from a former social media manager, brands don't give a shit about you. I literally had a Pinterest board of like cliche good vibes quotes and would semi-regularly schedule them for our social media posts because it was a quick and easy way to get engagement. It's all smoke and mirrors. It's not real. Trust nobody is what I'm trying to say. Moving on to the third thing that I think toxic positivity achieves, which is censorship or tone policing. Sometimes feeling distressing emotions aren't just the best reaction, they are the only reaction. For example, feeling grief or pain when faced with rejection, feeling anger or betrayal when faced with trauma, feeling rage or anguish when faced with injustice. These are all valid, normal, good feelings because the experiences warrant these reactions. You are not being negative or emotional. You are in fact being a reasonable human being. But the powers that be don't like these kinds of emotions because it's challenging the status quo. It's shaking things up. It's rocking the table. It's rocking the boat. How many more cliches? Anyway. And so we are shamed or guilted or punished until we repress these emotions and learn to shut up and play nice. I'm sure you've heard the saying, the nail that sticks out gets hammered down. Nonconformity is always punished, and we are led to believe that complacency or happiness is the norm. As a woman, I am intimately familiar with this tactic. Take anger, for example. If a man is angry, depending on the degree of anger he's expressing, he could probably get away with being called passionate. But for a woman, anger is unacceptable. We aren't allowed to be angry because that's not ladylike or whatever. When anger comes from a woman, we are shrill. We are immediately dismissed as irrational or hysterical. The source of the anger is never investigated. It's just brushed off as, oh, here we go, another woman being emotional. Also, side note, the word hysterical annoys me to no end. Hysteria comes from the Greek root hystera, meaning uterus. Originally, it was believed that hysteria and hysterical symptoms were caused by a defect in the womb, and thus only women could become hysterical. Just in case you didn't have enough reasons to feel angry. Also, toxic positivity as a method of silencing people you don't agree with is used a lot here in Malaysia, especially against minorities. When a racial minority complains about, say, cultural appropriation, a lot of people will react by trying to justify or smooth over the incident by saying stuff like, it could be worse, or look on the bright side, at least you're not in concentration camps. Or, let's not fight, let's go back to the old days when we lived in harmony and wore each other's clothes with no problems, peace and love and light. See, you might think you're helping by trying to inject some positivity into the dialogue, but when you do this, you are dismissing a very real and very harmful issue that affects minorities. You are effectively censoring them because you are uncomfortable, and you're trying to mask that discomfort, you're trying to push it away, because we've been taught to reject or repress discomfort. We pile on the platitudes instead of doing any type of self-reflection. When you feel discomfort, try and sit with it. Let yourself really feel it. Ask yourself why you're feeling it, where it's coming from, what's causing it. Is it because you feel unsafe? Or is it because your paradigms are being challenged? We need to make that distinction because that is how we grow and unlearn unhealthy or prejudiced ideas. So I think that's probably it for today's episode. Some final thoughts before I wrap it up. Positivity in moderation can be empowering and encouraging. It only becomes toxic when it makes you feel guilty for having feelings, basically. And you should never have to feel guilty for something you can't control. You can't control how and when negative emotions show up, but you can manage them. And I know feeling sad sucks, believe me. I know feeling angry or hurt sucks, but at the risk of sounding like a cliche, these feelings will pass in time. All you have to do is give it time. We have officially reached the end of today's episode. Thank you for listening, and I hope you remember to be authentic to yourself, whether in joy or sadness. Take care and bye, everyone.